Fatima, where heaven and earth have met. Since the day our Blessed Mother visited her cousin Elizabeth, she has never stopped visiting her people and care for them in time of need, reminding them of the gospel of her son. This happened in Guadalupe, Mexico, and then in Lourdes, France. Let us now hear what was the purpose and message of her visitation in Fatima on every 13th of the month from May to October in 1917. Here now is the director of Radio Maria Canada, Father George Amaro.
Welcome, brothers and sisters, to another program about Fatima. And, of course, we are not speaking at the time being of Fatima, but of Guadalupe, as we have said. And we spoke last time about the first apparition of Our Lady at Guadalupe, and how Juan Diego was attracted by music. And later, so the apparitions start with music, and then they end up with roses in the shape of Our Blessed Mother. And so these are the two symbols of the Aztec culture, that the music attracts you to the truth, the symbols of the truth, music and roses. The music attracts you to the truth, and then you collect the truth, those roses. And as the Virgin told Juan Diego, come to my presence with those roses because I must rearrange them. So our truth is always tainted with this rearrangement. We do our part, and God does the other part. Rearranges things so that we understand the full truth of God. So the second apparition, the bishop was very reluctant to receive Juan Diego, which reminds us of Saint Francis when he went to Rome to visit the Pope. The Pope did not receive him the first time. So it happens in all times that these clerics, they think very highly of themselves and very lowly of of everybody else, especially the poor and the humble. And although they know the gospel that Jesus welcomes everybody, well, some they start to be ruled by worldly values and not by gospel values. So he did not receive him, and Juan Diego turned back, and the Virgin appeared to him again. This is the second apparition, the December 9, and she told him, my little son, you must understand that I have my many servants and messengers to whom I must entrust the delivery of my message and carry my wish. But it is of precious detail that you yourself solicit and assist, and that through your mediation my wish be complied. I earnestly implore my son, the least, and with the sternness, I command that you again go tomorrow and see the bishop. You go in my name and make known my wish in its entirety, that he has to start the erection of a temple, which I ask of him, and again tell him that I, in person, the ever Virgin Holy Mary, Mother of God, sent you. Now, this is the second apparition. And as I told you before, the Blessed Mary appeared the first. We will go again and revisit all these symbols when we will be talking about the image of Guadalupe. We will speak of all the symbols, of everything that we find in there. It is indeed a book. It is a compendium. You learn many things, and all the symbols that you find in that image, are very, very important to be known. One already is that the Virgin appears pregnant, which is very strange. This is the only apparition of Our Lady that she appears pregnant. It's like, what does it mean to appear pregnant when at the year 1531, when Jesus was born 1531 years ago, and now she appears pregnant? How can she be pregnant again? You see, these are all symbols. And what does it mean? Well, the Virgin is pregnant with her son. Her son, she is to deliver her son. And it is like in Bethlehem, she finds no place to deliver him. And so it looks like there hasn't been a Christmas yet. Christmas has not happened in America. It has happened in everywhere else, but not in America, because it looks like it's a difficult birth. It's a difficult birth because the Indians don't accept this religion. And they did have reason to not accept it, as I told you, because this was, at that time, seen by the Indians, the Spanish religion, the religion of the Spaniards. And of course, how are you going to accept the religion of the Spaniards? They present themselves so badly. How can we accept the religion of the ones that are very cruel to us, that have conquered us, that have submitted us, that have taken away our freedom? How are we going to accept their religion? Of course, that was a big problem. So that's why the Virgin is to deliver Jesus to America, but America seem not to accept this delivery, seem not to accept her son, because this is a religion that is connoted with these cruel people that came from elsewhere. We don't know where they came from. You know, the Indians didn't have the image of the planet that at the time the Europeans had. So another thing today that I must tell you, but many others I will add when we speak about the image, is that the face of the Virgin, the face of the Virgin, some say it is an Indian face. Well, it is an Indian face, but not just Indian. It has also white features. So it is a mestiza. It is a mestiza. It's not completely, it's not 100% Indian, and it's not 100% white. There were already mestizos children that were despised. I have seen that in Africa myself. You know, the son of a white and a black is despised by the white, is judged being black by the white, and is judged by being white by the Africans. So it is very awful. And also because these kids, they came out of rape, they came out of, they are illegitimate, they came out of a night of pleasure, not out of matrimony, so they are not sons of a marriage. Now, Cortes arrived in 1519, And he conquered the Aztec Empire in 1521. So there were already some mestizos, and of course they were despised. So you see, our Blessed Mother appears with the face of those that are despised to say that God loves them. God loves all kids because they are all his sons. A parent and a mother and a father, they don't make life, they transmit life because they have also life. They transmit what they have, but life is not theirs. So they were also, they came to life without doing nothing. So life belongs always to God, and our parents transmit it. And so the Virgin Mary appearing with the face of a mestiza means that we are all the same. We were all born in Africa, and we acquire different characters, different color skins, different shape of the eyes, different shape of the nose and lips, and different color skin. All is due to the place where we live for 25,000 years. Man, Homo sapiens, came out of Africa, and in the places that he was colonizing, to adapt to those places, it became different. But indeed, he's the same Homo sapiens wherever you go. But of course, in many times, not even today, some people understand that, and they look at themselves as superior because they are white, because they have blue eyes or blonde hair, and they think of themselves being superior to others, which is, by all means, scientifically, a stupidity. But here we are, these mestizos were already suffering, and it is so nice that our Blessed Mother appears with their face, appears with their face. It's not a white, it's not an Indian, it is a mestizo, that God accepts any way. You know, a son can be illegitimate in human terms, but is always legitimate in God's terms. Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and we were speaking about the second apparition, and then it came another third apparition. Of course, the bishop thought them and asked them for a sign, and Juan Diego coming back home from Mexico referred in this third apparition. We don't have the words of our Blessed Mother, because he only reported to her that the bishop wanted a sign to believe. And so she told him, well, come back tomorrow, and tomorrow I'll give you the sign. The fourth apparition is, and the last apparition is, on December 12th. We have a fourth and a fifth apparition, but the fifth apparition is not to Juan Diego. It's to his uncle. So, but the apparition on the same day, so we have the fourth and the fifth, but they happen to in different places and to different people. So 2 days later, on December 12th, as he was going to the church of Tlatelolco in order to bring a priest to his dying uncle, Juan Diego was stopped by the lady who had come down from Tepeyac Hill to meet him. You see, God makes, he was somehow avoiding the place, going another place, not going up the hill, avoiding the place, but she comes to meet him on the road. And of course, when Juan Diego saw her, he felt, you know, he felt ashamed that he couldn't fulfill the promise of coming, and he was kind of running away, and so he had to excuse himself. She listened quietly to Juan's excuse for not having kept his appointment with her the day before. When he had finished speaking, she said, "It is well, littlest and dearest of my sons, but now listen to me and understand well, my little son, that nothing should frighten or grieve you. Let not your heart be disturbed. Do not fear that sickness, nor any other sickness or anguish. Am I not here, who is your mother? Are you not under my protection? Am I not your health? Are you not happy within my fold? What else do you wish? Do not grieve, nor be disturbed by anything. Do not be afflicted by the illness of your uncle, who will not die now of it. Be assured that as we speak, he is now cured." The place in, if you visit the Basilica of Guadalupe, the new Basilica, because if you, when you go to Guadalupe, you'll find the two basilicas, the old one that was built just after the apparitions. First, there was a chapel, and it's still there in the Tepeyac, but then down below, there is this big basilica that is sinking. You can see the whole basilica sinking because Mexico was built in a lagoon. Mexico is still a lagoon. Anyway, so that the new basilica, you find this sentence, "Am I not here?" in Spanish. "Am I not here, who is your mother?" That's so beautiful, this sentence. And it summarizes the apparitions of Guadalupe. And it is an exhortation, but also an admonishment. How come you manifested lack of faith? Am I not here, who is your mother? So why should you be worried? Why should you worry like if you were an orphan? Am I not here, who is your mother? So if you are really my son, and if you are really a kid, and if you really behave as a kid, then why should you be worried? Am I not here who is your mother? So beautiful, this sentence, and we should always Any time when we find ourselves worrying and being like if we were on our own, we are never on our own. You know, sometimes this sentence that is very much repeated in English, you are on your own. Well, a Christian is never on his own. Am I not here that is your mother? Am I not here who is your mother? So have faith. I am your mother. You are my kid. I take care of you. Don't worry. Okay, so having heard these words, Juan Diego rejoiced and asked for a sign, you know, the sign, the promised sign, he has to take to the bishop. And he was told to climb to the top of the hill where she had spoken to him on other occasions. She said he would find many flowers blooming there, which he was to cut and bring to her. It was not the season for blooming flowers. You know, we are in December and we are in the North Hemisphere. Mexico is still in the North Hemisphere, so that means winter. Winter, and in winter, no flowers bloom. And also Juan Diego, not just because it was winter, Juan Diego knows that place and he has never seen any flowers blooming there. So Juan Diego did as he was told, he obeyed. Indeed, when he got to the place, he discovered a marvelous garden of new fresh blossoms, which he cut as she asked, placing them in his cloak, in his tilma, in his poncho, and he brought the flowers to the lady who rearranged them and told him to take them to the bishop. That is the sign to persuade him to carry out her wishes. And she told him with these words, "Climb, my dear son, to the top of the hill, there where you saw me and gave you orders. You will find different flowers, cut them, gather them, assemble them, then come and bring them before my present. I must rearrange them. My dear little son, this diversity of roses is the proof and the sign which you will take to the bishop. You will tell him in my name that he will see in them my wish and that he will have to comply to it. You are my ambassador, most worthy of all confidence. Rigorously, I command you that only before the presence of the bishop will you unfold your mantle and disclose what you are carrying. You will relate all and well. You will tell that I order you to climb to the hilltop to go and cut flowers, and all that you saw and admired, so you can induce the prelate to give his support with the aim that a temple be built and erected as I have asked." Interestingly enough, these are roses. Roses reminds us of the rosary. The rosary are roses knit as prayers. Juan Diego radiantly, happily goes to the bishop, stands before the bishop, that is a Franciscan, Fray Juan de Zumárraga, and told him of the fourth encounter with the lady. He opened his tilma, his mantle, his poncho, to show the bishop the sign. The flowers cascaded to the floor, but to the astonishment of the bishop and Juan Diego, there appeared upon a coarse fabric of the Indian's mantle a marvelous, wrought, exquisitely colored portrait of the Blessed Virgin Mary, just as Juan Diego had previously described there. So here we have the sign. It reminds us of the Shroud of Turin. You see, that's in these Marian apparitions, this is very unique. But it is unique indeed, but it's a reminiscence of the Shroud of Turin, where we believe the image of Jesus is imprinted. Okay, so these are the facts. Let us say a word to another fact, the fifth apparition that happens to Juan Bernardino and restored him to health. As she had told Juan Diego, was at the time 57 years old, his uncle was, of course, much older. Both were new Christians, both were new converts. And the speciality of about this fifth apparition is that to Juan Bernardino, the Blessed Mother revealed their identity, her name. She presented herself as Santa Maria de Guadalupe, Our Lady of Guadalupe. Now, it's very startling, this name, because it is not an Indian name. Guadalupe is a Spanish word. It's not Indian. But this Spanish word, if it is pronounced, there's no meaning. Guadalupe has no meaning in the Indian language. But if an Aztec pronounces this name, Guadalupe, it looks like he's saying another word that is the one that has killed the serpent. We will tell you later on another program that the serpent was indeed an Indian god, and so the one that overcomes the Indian god. Of course, the serpent has also a meaning. Our Blessed Mother puts her foot over the serpent, and we have that image too. So it speaks both ways. It speaks both ways. Now the Blessed Mother revealed her name as Guadalupe, probably knowing that an Aztec, when he would say the name Guadalupe, he would think of the one that kills the serpent. But of course, the name Guadalupe, it also appeals to the Spaniards, because it's a place in Spain. And there is indeed an Our Lady of Guadalupe in Spain prior to this one. It is in very close to Cáceres, in the province called Extremadura. Cáceres is very close to Portugal already. And Cortés was from their place. Cortés was from Extremadura, so he was very much acquainted with these apparitions of Our Lady in Guadalupe in Spain, in that place. Guadalupe is a river. Guad in Hebrew. In Hebrew is Wadi. In Arab is Guad. Guad means river. So there are a couple of rivers in Spain and Portugal that have that name: Guadiana, Guadalquivir, Guadarrama, Guadalajara. Those are rivers in Spain, and so Guadalupe. So if Guad means river, Lupe means wolf. So this is called the river of the wolf. So here we have. Again, the Virgin is pregnant. The Virgin is a mestiza, is half white, half Indian. And the Virgin says that is Our Lady of Guadalupe. Guadalupe has a meaning in Aztec and has a meaning in Spanish.
You have been listening to Fatima, Where Heaven and Earth Have Met, with Father George Amaro. Thank you for joining us today, and we pray that this program is an encouragement to you. Please join us here on Radio Maria Canada every Thursday at 10:30 a.m., where Father George Amaro will continue his teaching about our Blessed Mother and the significance of Fatima.